Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday morning, August the 13th. Good to be back from vacation. Thanks to John Munson for filling in for me last week. And good to be back to talk about state politics with Sean Johnson, what we do every Monday at this time. It's our state capitol report. We'll get an update on the budget negotiations, or maybe the so-called budget negotiations, because there hasn't been a lot of progress to report. But we'll find out where it stands now in this half hour. And we will also welcome in Marty Beal, the executive director of the Wisconsin State Employees Union, after 7:30 to talk about how the state budget affects state employees. And we welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Joining me is Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
We just heard in state news that Tommy Thompson has officially ended his presidential bid. I don't suppose that's a huge surprise to those who are political watchers?
Not really. It was kind of a matter of if, it seemed like, to most of us. Tommy's, you know, was completely banking on how he did in Iowa and spent all his time in Iowa. And so when he didn't do well there, he said all along, if he didn't place first or second, he was going to bow out of the race.
Yeah, so it is officially over. He, I think, placed sixth in 11 candidates.
Right. He sent out a message last night around 8:20, very quietly bowed out.
Yeah. Well, let's turn to the budget negotiations going on under the state Capitol Dome. I was on vacation much of last week, but I guess I didn't miss much, huh? I mean, nothing. I mean, I know there's been offers but no counter offers. Not much progress so far, huh?
Yeah, I think the first time you and I talked about this, I said something along the lines of, it's pretty exciting stuff if you're into this, because it was the first day. You know, there was a lot of interesting stances taken, some of the best budget speeches on both sides back and forth. And then just the last couple of weeks, it has gotten a bit monotonous. I think you look around the room in the committee where the room where this committee's meeting, this conference committee of legislative leaders, and if there's something that's going to happen, usually it's pretty packed with lobbyists from interest groups across the state. And it's been kind of quiet the last few weeks, aside from some of the state employees that you'll be talking about in the next half hour.
Yeah. I don't know. What I heard of last week is that the Democrats did offer to cap tuition if the Republicans would restore much of the funding that the Republicans had cut from the University of Wisconsin budget.
Right. The week started out kind of with Regents setting tuition, and this is apart from the conference committee that's meeting right now. They have to set tuition because students are going to be coming in soon. So even though they don't know how much money they're going to get from the state, they had to decide how much money they're going to ask for from students. And the Regents asked for a 5.5% tuition increase. And so we had Regent Charles Pruitt saying that was a message of hope to the lawmakers who are negotiating the budget.
This is about hope. And I think the hope that as the legislative committee continues their negotiations, they will keep very closely in their minds those students and those families who are waiting on financial aid, and obviously the faculty and staff and everyone connected to this university and the growth agenda.
And just to get into that a little bit more, when he's talking about hope, that 5.5% tuition increase basically is hoping that the budget will end up the way Democrats wanted it. That is, that the university will get the level of state support that Senate Democrats and the governors have laid out. Otherwise, if they don't, the university feels like it's going to either fall short of money or need to increase tuition down the road.
Yeah, let's just for those who might have been on vacation or not paying very close attention to this, the Senate passed a budget that did included the money that the University of Wisconsin system said it needed to either maintain or develop critical programs. The Assembly version cut much of a cut of what, $120 million out of that?
They both increase funding, but the Senate increases funding by about $180 million, whereas the Assembly increases funding by about $60 million. And this last week, the Senate came to the table and said, okay, you guys proposed, the Assembly Republicans proposed this 4% tuition cap, and that's one of the big items in your budget. We'll put that in a university package. And the flip side of that is you have to fully fund the university. And so Republicans basically said, well, it's great. We have agreement on this big item, this tuition cap that looks out for Wisconsin families. And Senator Russ Decker basically told them that they had to give something too.
Don't try to misrepresent this 4% tuition cap. That's only going to function if the university gets enough cash to be able to make ends meet.
And so that deal was basically dead. They kind of talked in circles for the rest of the day and moved on. The Republicans' response basically to the Democrats' offer on higher education was to come back with their own offer on K-12, you know, public education. And so we didn't get anywhere.
Yeah, we'll talk a little after the weather break about one part of that university funding package, which includes public broadcasting.
Right.
That's a part of that as well. So we'll talk about how this was addressed in the Budget Negotiation Committee after the weather break. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. It's our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is our State Capitol Report, where we review the very latest in state politics every Monday during this hour. We're talking lots about the state budget, because that's what is being discussed at the state capitol during these last several weeks. Sean Johnson with us, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. After 7:30, we will hear from Marty Beal, the executive director of the Wisconsin State Employees Union, about the union's take on the budget. Sean, the University of Wisconsin funding also includes funding for public broadcasting. The Senate version of the budget retains funding for public broadcasting. The Assembly's version, what, does not?
Yeah, in most areas of the state budget, the Assembly basically gives a smaller increase than the Senate. That is, you know, it's not exactly a cut throughout most areas of government. It's just, you know, not as much as some groups want. Public broadcasting is one area, like the UW Law School, for example, where Assembly Republicans decided to zero out state funding. And in terms of UW Extension funding, which is where public broadcasting gets some of its funds, that would all be eliminated. And so Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson brought that up at the conference table this past week and asked Republicans basically to defend those cuts. And Representative Kitty Rhodes of Hudson, who sits on the Joint Finance Committee, you know, gave her a response.
When you have limited resources, you use them for the core functions of government first. And when it comes to public radio, public television, the core functions of that have been distance learning through the K-12, and we all agreed on that, and emergency warning systems. It's not to fund entertainment.
So it zeroes out all state funding for public broadcasting, the Republican version, but expects that the Amber Alert system should still be funded?
Yeah. Kitty Rhodes' basic take on this is that because public broadcasting gets funding from other sources, listeners, for example, that that it can pay for services like this elsewhere. And also, there is some money that's left intact for the Educational Communications Board in this budget for stuff that she's talking about, like K-12 education. Not much, but you know, that's their basic take, is that that public radio can look elsewhere. It's interesting to note that when the speaker was asked about this by Senator Robson, he didn't really give a direct answer a couple times, I think it's fair to say. So whether or not that's a cut that they're happy with and will remain intact, we'll see.
Yeah. And did you stand up and say, excuse me, I'm on a show every week that's not exactly entertaining? No.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think it's entertaining, but, you know, we're not exactly.
But we're not. Yeah, we're not click and clack.
Right.
Let's put it
exactly.
That way. No. All right. So what else happened with the budget negotiations? Anything?
The Republicans wanted to talk about their proposed property tax freeze. And this is just an example, I think, from both sides where they both kind of want to talk about what they want and in most instances aren't really looking to compromise at this point. And so Republicans came to the table and said, why don't you accept our property tax freeze, which would hold property tax levels across the state at this year's level, only let them grow to account for new growth. And this is something that Speaker Mike Hipsch was, you know, very happy to talk about.
If you were suggesting that if they don't see the increase that you demand, that somehow police and fire protection is going to be cut, they're going to want to know every dime for every other area of government. And they will be the ones that hold us all accountable. And they should. They're some of the highest tax people in the nation. They've made the commitment. We cannot possibly go back to the people of Wisconsin and say you are not doing your fair share. They don't believe it, and neither do we.
And that Republican proposal, though, it wasn't talked about the other day, they also decreased the state's shared revenue that the state sends to counties and cities to pay for things like police and fire. And this is one area, again, where it is a real cut. I mean, they would spend less on shared revenue, especially to four cities that are represented by Democratic senators, than we do in this budget. And I don't want to overblow the importance of this too much, but the Wisconsin Professional Police Association group that represents rank-and-file police officers actually ran a campaign ad against one of the GOP lawmakers who sits in a highly targeted district, saying vote against this guy because he voted for this budget that's going to slash local governments. So it only ran once, but I think it's a subtle message to lawmakers that they have to deal with these budgets.
I did notice that some Republican lawmakers sent Governor Doyle a letter last week that said, when we come up with a budget, and as we're reporting right now, that's going to be a while, I guess. When we come up with a budget, you should promise not to partial veto it.
Yeah,
this how did that go over?
Yeah, the governor wasn't all that ready to take that proposal, I guess. This is something that Republican lawmakers and a number of Democratic lawmakers have supported this as well. This idea that the governor's partial veto authority should be scaled back so that he can't veto out parts of different sentences to create a new sentence. And that's something that he did in the last budget to transfer $400 million out of the roads budget into the education budget. And the governor was asked about this proposal to just voluntarily put down his veto pen by reporters, and he didn't give any indication that he was going to not use it.
A legislature that is supposed to have a budget passed by July 1 and doesn't have a budget passed, trying to say what I should do, how I should use my veto is like, I guess that does meet the definition of chutzpah.
All right, so we can assume that he's not the governor isn't going to agree to that that request.
No, not this time.
Yeah. So what is the do we have any idea how long this budget committee negotiating committee is going to take on the state budget?
No, I think they're going to have to actually start talking honestly, and I don't know how you do that. I read on WisPolitics on Friday that Judy Robson, Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson, and Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch were meeting on their own to kind of set what the direction of negotiation should be, at least, because right now there is none. One side comes to the table with their pet project, the other side comes with their big idea, and they just talk past each other. It's so frustrating to sit in there and listen to. For
now, do they take votes, or do they just say, "All right, it's on the table, but we're not going to do anything about this yet"?
The only thing that they it wasn't exactly a vote, but the only thing that they agreed on so far was, and it was a significant number of items, but it was stuff that they'd already agreed on. It was stuff that passed the Assembly and the Senate. So for a committee that's there to negotiate out their differences, they haven't done any of that so far.
Let me take a call from Mike in Castle Rock. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'd like to know how much they're paying down the budget. The last time I looked, I think we were something like $1.3 billion in the hole. Was there any conversation on that?
There hasn't been much conversation on it at the table, I should say. It has come up.
Paying down the budget?
Yeah, there's this structural deficit in Wisconsin.
Deficit, okay.
Where, you know, we set up these programs, the governor and legislature set up these programs that they all want, but they put off paying the bills until the next fiscal year. It'd be kind of like buying something and saying, I don't quite have the money for it now. I'll put it on my credit card and pay it off next month. So you always have that sort of hanging out there. And so every time they draw up a budget, they have to deal with this structural deficit. And I think the governor would have reduced that structural deficit the most among them, but it's still out there with all of them to the tune of 700 to 900 million. And then if you talk about just the amount of money that's in the state's bank account, the Republican budget would, you know, run a razor thin margin. They'd have something like $9 million in there at one point, which, if you had some sort of dip in the markets, the state could run out of money real fast. So it's not so good if you're a deficit hawk.
Another call from Tom in Peshtigo. Hi, Tom.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I understand there's a proposal in the legislature to allow out-of-state residents who are members of Wisconsin National Guard or Reserve units to be able to get hunting and fishing license at in-state rates. Do you have any information about that?
I don't, Tom, and I hate when I don't know the answer to these bill questions. And the fact is, right now they're just not being discussed much at the Capitol. We still have committees meeting, but not as regularly as.
But I know Sean will check into the status of that, and maybe
absolutely.
we can get an update.
Sure.
Yeah. What is coming up this week? Any besides state budget negotiations, is anything coming up in the week to come?
The conference committee, I think everybody's going to be looking to the conference committee on Thursday to see what they're going to do. If this is just going to be, you know, continually, smacking our head against a brick wall, or if they're going to make some progress in the near term. Other than that, there's a few interesting bills coming up in one committee this Wednesday, all from Senator Tim Carpenter, who also chairs the committee. There's a prescription drug advertising ban that he sponsored. There's a senior care referendum that basically gauges the popularity of senior care, and that program set to expire in 2009. And then there's a ban on these auto dial machines these robocall machines that call people automatically. That's also coming up in that committee.
We love those. Yeah.
Sure.
Leo Duran looked up the bill that Tom in Peshtigo was interested in. It was proposed by Representative Mary Hubler.
Right.
And it would allow non-state residents who are members of the Wisconsin National Guard to be eligible for hunting and fishing licenses, apparently at state rates. This bill did have a public hearing in late May, but no action.
All right, good.
And so it's still pending, as they say.
Right. Thanks, Leo.
Yeah, thanks, Leo. Only 30 seconds, Sean. I'm going to be welcoming in Marty Beal from the Wisconsin State Employees Union. What have state employees told you about this budget? What are they most concerned about?
They don't like it. They don't like the way that it makes some state workers pay more for health insurance, for retirements. And a big thing for Ask Me members is it reduces the compensation reserve. That is the amount of money that the lawmakers and the governor set aside for raises. The governor wants to set aside quite a bit more than Assembly Republicans did.
Well, we'll get more on that with Marty Beal after the news. Sean, thanks very much.
Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We'll continue our state capitol report after the news. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Monday, August the 13th. This is our state capitol report, where we examine the latest in state politics every week, and these days have been focusing in on state budget issues as a budget negotiating committee is trying to hammer out a compromise between the version of the state budget passed by the democratically controlled state Senate and the version passed by the Republican controlled state assembly. We will continue this half hour talking with Marty Beal, Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Employees Union, AFSCME Council 24, and we will welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. What's at stake when it comes to the state budget and state employees? Well, quite a bit. Tens of millions of dollars in benefits for thousands of state employees are hanging in the balance. Among those benefits, it would require an estimated 60,000 state employees, except for protective positions like prison guards, state patrol officers, and Capitol Police, to pick up 10% of their health insurance premiums, which are now paid for by the state. It would reduce the number of paid sick leave days for new state employees from about 16 days a year to 6. It would require more than 34,000 non-union state employees, including the University of Wisconsin faculty and staff, to pick up the first 5% of pension fund contributions now paid for by the state. The assembly version of the budget also switches the payroll system so that all employees are paid monthly instead of biweekly. Just some of the proposals and differences between the two versions of the budget that the State Employees Union is certainly watching. Our guest, Marty Beal, joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So you don't like the assembly version of the state budget very much, do you?
It's pretty Neanderthal. The state assembly budget goes backwards some 30 years when it comes to benefits and protections for public employees working for the state.
Yeah, but Assembly Speaker Mike Kipsch says this is just trying to get some sort of equality in benefits between the private sector and the public sector.
Well, he's absolutely wrong. And in fact, you know, every week you hear a different story coming out of the halls over there. One week it's because of economics. Another week it's to bring equality between the private and the public. Another week it's, well, that just has to happen at state government. But, you know, I don't know of too many private sector workers who are paid monthly. I don't know of too many public sector workers who have rights and benefits they've had for over 30 years stripped away by some whim and fancy of some right-wingers. That just doesn't happen. Every page in this budget you turn, there's a tremendous impact on working families, whether it's their benefits, whether it's the programs that they're involved in, whether it's K through 12 education, whether it's college education, and how we send our kids there, and how much we pay. I mean, every page of that budget coming out of the assembly is full of just right wing, backward thinking kinds of issues and innovations. It's incredible.
Now, those Republicans in the state assembly would say, hold on a minute, we're just looking out for the taxpayer. The taxpayer is, you know, taxed to death, and we have to make sure that we don't raise taxes and put our state government spending prioritize our state government spending.
Yeah. Well, you know, we say a couple of things to that. One is, if you closely look at some of these reductions, as you had mentioned earlier in the broadcast, the 10% payment of health insurance premiums, you know, actually costs the state more money than saves it money, because it completely dismantles the competitive marketplace that's been established for state employee health care. We have this tiered level where HMOs have to perform at certain thresholds, which keeps the cost under control. If everybody paid the same amount, those thresholds would be gone, and there'd be no competition among healthcare carriers for the state employee contracts. The issue of payment once a month, I mean, these guys don't even look at what the cost impact is on the taxpayers. If we went to a monthly paycheck instead of bimonthly, it would cost the state an additional $6 to $7 million to do that. There's no cost savings. There's an actual cost increase there. So a lot of these issues, you know, these are ideological issues. These aren't issues that are going to save the taxpayers money. But the big question we as state employees have here is, why are we the scapegoats? Take a look across the budget, you know, and we keep asking this question: why are we singled out? Why are our collective bargaining rights being taken away in a lot of these areas? Why are our benefits being reduced? Why are we being asked to pay more money? And the answer to this is, well, you know, this is a bargaining chip for us in negotiations. This is what the Republicans are telling us. We're just a bargaining chip in these negotiations. Well, we're tired of being bargaining chips. Mm. You know, we're workers. We have rights. We have identities here. We're not bargaining chips. And state workers are speaking out about that.
Plus, it's not all state workers, though. Apparently, prison guards, state patrol officers, Capitol Police would not, under this budget, have to pick up 10% of their health insurance premiums.
Sure, and again, this is a wedge issue on the part of these right wingers. You know, that was the architect for those were the Fitzgerald brothers, who have obvious correctional institutions in their Senate and the Assembly districts. But, you know, the real interesting thing of that is we represent correctional officers, we represent 6,000 of them. They are wild, absolutely wild. Even though they're excluded for some of these cuts, they certainly understand the dynamics here. It's the general occupation today. It's them tomorrow. We have buses of correctional officers coming from all over the state over the last couple of weeks, including this week, to come to tell their story at the conference committee that they are not happy with what's happening here, and that they think that the conference committee and the Republicans should move off the dime and get things done here in terms of putting a budget together. Clearly, our union has passed a resolution, and again, as I said, we represent over 6,000 correctional officers, that says that anyone who voted for the assembly budget will not in any way get any recognition from us coming in the 08 elections. It clearly is an assault on state workers. Our protective employees and our general employees view it that way and are willing to fight back that way.
Yeah, and you even care about the 34,000 non-union state employees, including yours truly, a University of Wisconsin faculty and staff, which we would have to pick up the first 5% of our pension fund contributions.
And you know, this is all we tend to characterize it as the Alabamization of Wisconsin. It's, let's go backwards here. Let's drive the mediocrity, whether we're represented or unrepresented, whether it's benefits, whether it's collective bargaining rights, whether it's funding, for instance, for Wisconsin Public Radio, or whether it's funding for the School for Workers, or whether it's funding for the law school. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. These guys are making decisions around ideology. They're not making decisions about what's good for the taxpayers or what's good for working men and women of this state.
Yeah. Let's take a call from Rod in Monona. Hi, Rod, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. This has been kind of a thorn in my side for a while because I'm a private employer. And there's absolutely no reason that I see anybody paying 100% of somebody's health care dollars. Everybody should participate on it. And then also, when it comes to pensions, I don't know anybody that has a pension as good as a state employee. Everybody I know has a 401k, they get some profit sharing, and they get some matching dollars. To pay 100%, it's ludicrous. And I firmly believe that in about 20 years, when the baby boomers are retired, that there's going to be some type of revolution, because you're going to have private sector retirees who don't have enough pensions versus the public sector, who's got all the money in the world, and we're still paying taxes to support them.
Marty Beal?
Yeah, let me react to that. First of all, Rod, there are no state employees paying nothing for their health insurance. The state employees, for the last 5 years, 6 years, have been paying on average about 5% of their 5% of the premium of the health insurance. So, you know, this whole myth that we're not paying anything for health insurance is absolutely wrong. We're paying something for our health insurance, regardless of what tier you're in. On the issue of pensions, you know, it's unfortunate that you don't or you can't provide a good pension system for your workers. We are fortunate in Wisconsin, through years of collective bargaining, through years of savings on our part, through large numbers of people in terms of the merged pension system, that we're able to maintain a good pension system. This is one of the most well-funded pension systems in the entire country. And it isn't because the taxpayers have put millions of dollars into it. It's because workers have, over the years, taken less in terms of pay so that they could get more in terms of benefits. So it all evens out in the end. But I think what Rod's trying to get to here is this whole argument that's been going on, that's been driven by George Bush and Karl Rove and some of those other folks on a national level about the difference between defined benefit and defined contribution plans. And, you know, clearly we have an excellent defined benefit program. We've bargained that defined benefit program. The state workers and the state retirees have done well by that. It has created economic development in this state. I can't see any reason why we should dismantle it.
We need to check our weather, and then we'll continue talking with Marty Beal. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, August the 13th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our regular visit from Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo. We'll have a special focus this hour after 8 o'clock when we talk about the effect of the proposed state budget on what you see and hear on public broadcasting. That's the big news going on regarding Wisconsin Public Radio. So Phil Corvo will tell us how that affects you. And we'll also be joined by Phil's boss, Malcolm Brett, who is the Director of Broadcast and Media Innovations at UW Extension. So we'll talk a little bit more about the proposed state budget and funding for public broadcasting coming up after 8. Right now, we're talking about the effect of the proposed state budget, or at least the Assembly Republicans' version of the proposed state budget, on state employees. Our guest is Marty Beal, Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Employees Union, AFSCME Council 24, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our next caller is Mary in New Berlin. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question, and I need some input from Mr. Beal. First of all, it's my understanding that the large majority of your members are members that report to work every day and are working with the most dangerous, volatile individuals in the state of Wisconsin. And I find it rather absurd that when it comes time to compare your members having to come on board and have the same contributions as other public employees or other private sectors where people do not make themselves vulnerable to be hostages and put themselves in harm's way every day when they report to work. I just find it very ironic that some people in the state of Wisconsin think that people in your membership need to contribute more when every day they devote their time to putting their life on the line.
You're absolutely right, Mary. And it's our members, you know, we represent the vast majority of state workers. We in all sorts of situations, but you're absolutely right. We represent people who put themselves in harm's way every day. We also represent people who work with the neediest of the developmentally disabled in those facilities and in the mental health institutions. And there's a couple issues here. One is, you know, the issue of them coming, doing their job and being able to go home at night. And we've challenged these legislators who have all these cockamamie ideas. We've challenged them several times to come to these work sites. Don't just walk through for 5 minutes, but come and spend 4 hours, a half a shift, just a half a shift, with us in these work sites. Come into the housing units or into the pods with us. You know, spend some time and see what we do, and then talk about whether or not you still want to cut our benefits or increase our premiums. You know, we don't have one taker. We haven't had one taker. You know, the most we can get is some legislator want to walk through, spend 5 minutes talking for and posing for holy pictures, and then going back out. That's unfortunate because these guys, these legislators, are making decisions that affect programs and people's lives. lives, having absolutely no idea of its impact on those people. The second point here is that, you know, the state prides itself in offering high levels of public service. To offer high levels of public service, we have to have the best and the brightest. We have to have very qualified people coming in. Well, you know, if we reduce our benefits to the rate they are in Alabama strip people of the ability to earn and protect their interests as it comes to their, as it relates to their future in retirement, or you know, pay exorbitant amounts of money for the health insurance premiums, who would want to come to work for the state? Who would want to come to work in a correctional facility or in a developmental disability institution or a mental health institution or the university system or any of the other public service entities? Who would want to come to work if it was a low-paying, low-benefit job? Apparently, that's where these Republicans want to take us. They want to take us to a point where there isn't a public service anymore, that at the end of the day, I believe their philosophy is that the private sector should do all of this, and there should not be a public sector, and that's unfortunate.
Thanks, Mary. Joni in Almond is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling up because my husband is a state employee, okay? And just to give you an example, when you guys talk about the corrections officers supervising the people, maybe most people don't know, but the cooks, the librarians, the teachers, and the maintenance workers also supervise inmates because they have jobs and they work for them.
Right. You're absolutely right, Joni. I mean, we have all sorts of people working in those secured facilities. They're not only correctional officers, and they're not all protective occupation employees. And that's a whole other issue that needs to be dealt with. But this issue about telling the protectives that they won't, or separating the protectives out from the changes in benefits versus the general. I mean, it's all about creating a wedge. It's all about how we split employees apart. And you know, and I'm really happy and very proud as I watch the employees we represent not to fall for that bait and, in fact, become much stronger in terms of speaking out against what these Republicans want to do.
Thank you, Joni. Dwayne in Dalton is with us now. Hi, Dwayne.
Good morning, Joy. How you doing?
Good.
Marty, how you doing?
Good, Dwayne.
I am a state employee. I work at Dodge Correctional. Mm-hmm. And I was down there last Wednesday, and I sat in on the talks when they're sitting down there trying to budget for our contract and trying to settle the state budget. I'm telling you what, that is a joke so bad it isn't even funny. We were supposed to start at 11. The last guy didn't show up till 11:15. What is that? If I showed up all that time to late to work,
yep,
well, where would you think my job would be?
Yep.
And as far as benefits, we don't have the best benefits in the world. The people of Wisconsin need to wake up. I don't have full dental care. I've got some. My eyes, if I want eyes fixed, I got to pay for it out of my pocket. What's the matter? You know, and then you want to cut my, you know, benefits a lot more,
yep,
and then give me zero and zero? Come on.
Yeah. You know, Dwayne's absolutely right. If state employees did their job like this committee has done its job, we'd been fired. We have been there every day watching this committee. State employees have been there every day watching what goes on at this committee, and it's a waste of time. There's nothing more than political positioning going on, and that's unfortunate because as they tinker, you know, situations become worse in terms of the services that the state offers, in terms of funding for education, kids making decisions about financial aid. It's very difficult to do that. So these guys are tinkering around and playing political games with each other while the rest of the citizens begin to suffer from their inertia. That's unfortunate. But Dwayne's also right. I mean, if you lay state employees' benefits against Badger Care or against what people get when they're on Title 20 benefits, there's a lot of gaps. We don't get full coverage of dental benefits like Badger Care would get or some of the other low-income kinds of programs. We don't get vision care. We don't have vision care. So there's a lot of gaps in our health care coverage. So when people say we've got the Cadillac or whatever it is of health care coverage, that's not truly accurate. That's not totally accurate. We've got a good, solid benefit for health care, but we don't have everything that we need.
Thanks, Duane. Harry in Dodgeville. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I was just questioning the statement that you made regarding if we make these cuts, we will not be able to get quality of people into the state system. And my wife works for the state. My father-in-law works for the state. And you and I both know that if these cuts are made, people are still going to want to get into the state system. It's a fantastic pension. It's a fantastic benefit platform, no matter what you compare it to. You're still going to get quality people.
Yeah, even with the cuts, Harry?
Yes.
Harry, I don't believe so. And we see this a little bit now because of some of the cuts that have occurred in the last budget where the crop of candidates aren't the same. To kind of put it that way, the crop of candidates aren't as high quality as we've seen in the past. Now, if the citizens of the state just want to kind of open the doors and let anybody who wants to come and work in a correctional facility, or come work at the Department of Revenue, or go work in a mental health institution without any concern for background or any concern for, you know, the quality of the worker that's coming in, that's a decision that has to be made. But I don't believe that decision's been made, and I think that the citizens of the state feel that there ought to be high-quality people. To get high-quality people, you need to continue to pay them in terms of the marketplace. You need to provide the benefits for them, not reduce their benefits, and certainly not paying them once a month.
We'll need to leave it there for now. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks much, Joy.
Marty Beal, Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Employees Union, AFSCME Council 24. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.